And welcome back, everybody, to the show. Today is the Chinese Formula One Grand Prix preview. Guys, it's been 5 years since we've been at this track. 5 years. That was when Hamilton actually won. I think, was it his... let me just double check it again there. I think it was his 7th World Championship, no? Anyway, we'll find it. Doesn't matter. But it's been a hell of a dramatic year, guys. Dramatic year. 4 rounds down. Round 5, here we go. So why don't we just go straight into the championship positions here. And let's just get a review and see where we are and get the current update info. So, guys, here we go on screen. The championship. We have Max Verstappen on 77. Perez on 64 in second. So he's just on his coattails here. Charles Leclerc in the Ferrari on 59. He's not far behind either. Only 18 behind Verstappen. You got Carlos on 55. Lando on 37 in the McLaren. Oscar in the McLaren, 32. George Russell in Mercedes at 24. Fernando in the Aston Martin at 24. Hamilton in Mercedes on 10. And Lance Stroll, Strolly Boy, in the other Aston Martin on 9 points. So what I kind of find it very interesting this year is you've got the two Red Bulls, the two Ferraris, followed by the two McLarens. That doesn't happen that much. You know, it doesn't happen that much where you got each team having their 1-2, 1-2, 1-2. You know, you've got three teams here in the top six. Two Red Bulls, followed by the two Ferraris in a row, followed by the two McLarens. It's quite cool. It's quite entertaining. And even though Lando and Oscar are, let's see, they're on 37 and 32, the Ferrari boys are 20 points behind, just over 20 points ahead. It ain't over. I mean, we're only still on round 4 here, guys. So it's going to be very interesting, I think, to see what's going to unfold for the rest of the year here, because you never know. You never know. Now, yes, Max is looking really, really good. This track could be one of those tracks where Verstappen does struggle. It's kind of like Singapore last year. Singapore, very, very bumpy track, right? Off camber. And he struggled. I mean, I think, wasn't it again? Brain fart. No, apologies. Verstappen either qualified 12th or 10th last year. And he was really struggling in the race. So this could happen again this year where he's going to struggle like crazy. So the thing is it going to be one of those weekends? And if he's going to struggle, there's a chance Perez is going to struggle as well, because they've got the same type of car. So hopefully for us, if we're watching it, hopefully for us, he's going to struggle. It'll keep things interesting. Ferrari shouldn't struggle on this track. So again, we're talking now if Red Bull will struggle. Because again, now when I say if, guys, it depends. They might have resurfaced the tarmac here, right? They might have put an extra layer of tarmac down on the track to make it smoother. So you just never know. And it's been 5 years here since they've been there. If the track is smooth, I think Verstappen and Perez are going to be looking in very, very good shape. But we'll see. And of course, we have the sprint race. The first of the year. That's right. First of the year. They were talking on Sky Sports this morning. And I only just watched a glimpse. It was Martin Brundle, Caroon, and I think, is it Mike Baker or Ted Baker? The commentary guy on the podcast. And the guy, Baker, he asks, oh, well, is this going to put off the drivers now a sprint race? Jesus, anything for a fucking headline. No, it's not going to throw off the drivers. Even Brundle jumps in. I only watched about 30 seconds of this episode just to see if Brundle was going to sell his soul to the devil again, which he's done already this year, which just crushes me spiritually, crushes me. I thought he was better than this, but he didn't, thank God. The guy asks, well, do you think it's going to really affect the drivers, because they've only won practice now and they go straight into the qualifying for sprint and the race for sprint and all that. No, it's not. Brundle jumps in straight away. It's not going to affect them. And I went, right, thank God he didn't sell a soul. And I just actually turned it off. I couldn't listen to it anymore. But no, guys, it won't. Because at the end of the day, everybody's in the same position here. And they've got the simulators, like Brundle was saying. They have the simulators at the factory. Like, people don't realize how good these simulators are. For instance, I mean, I used to have my PlayStation 1. PlayStation 1, okay? We're going way back now. When I was racing, and even that got me into a good mind frame of knowing what the momentum of a certain track was like. For instance, I remember I was going to Spain, Belgium, the Formula One track. We actually did the Formula One track. And I sat there for days on end, hours upon hours every day, just going around the track with a fucking joystick. All right, a joystick, not even a cockpit. And I still was able to get the rhythm of the track. And it really did set me up in a healthy, good way when I got to Spa then. You know, it was almost like I was driving the computer when I was driving around the track. It was brilliant. Now, that's PlayStation 1 days. Imagine what it's like now with their simulators, because they've got the full cockpit. They've got the proper suspension on it. In other words, if they go through a left-hander, they have the weight and feel of an actual racing car. Now, close enough, yes. It wouldn't be completely identical, but this is Formula One. This is at their own factory. They're close enough, believe you me, to the real thing. So, very, very effective, and they're not going to have a problem. They're not going to have a problem. And everybody else is in the same position, and they haven't been there for 5 years. So they're going to be okay. They're going to be okay. Now, there's one spanner in the works. If they do have a mechanical problem in China, and they only have the one practice session, and then they're going straight into the qualifying, well, then that's a different story. So it might help for us for viewing and all that, but in terms of the driver getting affected, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Mechanical problems, different story, but drivers, no. So let's move on. Let's take a look at the track, right? Okay, so the track itself, guys. So it's a 5.4 kilometer track. Race distance is going to be 305 kilometers, as we can see here now on the screen, courtesy of Formula1F1.com, Formula1.com. And this is the track itself. Now, had a bit of YouTube problems, so we're not going to do a complete, full, uninterrupted lap of the track here, guys. I'm just testing the waters here with YouTube just to make sure I don't get another copyright thing, okay? Because it is actually affecting my channel here. So I have to be careful. Jesus. So we're going to do it in bits and pieces, right? But basically, this track, normally when I look at a track for one lap, I'll be able to break it down straight away if a lap is, okay, that's the most important corner. This is what I like about this track. It's challenging. It's hard to break down exactly which piece of the track is the most important. My money here is on corner 12. Because corner 12 sets up the huge, long, winding turn 13, which should be almost flat out. You would set your car up to hopefully get at full speed. That would be the ideal goal, and you just keep working towards that goal. You get out of 13, you've got this huge, long straight down into 14. So this is where you can gain probably a tenth or two if you can get that extra mile or two under your belt getting out of 13 properly. Now, I think if the Red Bulls are going to go well here, they're going to be really good coming out of 13, which is the problem. Adrian Newey's car is just unbelievable. And that's where I think the advantage for someone like Red Bull, again, if they don't struggle this weekend, okay, because that car almost like self-generates grip. I know I've spoken about it a lot. It is an amazing car. So personally, I think corner 12 leading up, building that power, because they're going to go through turn 11 here. They're going to go through turn 11 in third gear, maybe second, probably third, depending on the gearing. But I think they'll all be close enough with the gears here. In third gear in 11, you wind it up, you go nice and smooth going through turn 12. build the speed coming out, carry the speed into 13, get it to almost full speed if they're not full speed, and then get down that long straight down the back. So very, very important to get it out of that, section smooth. That's the key here. Smoothness wins the time going around 12 and 13 down that long straight into 14. So what other news do we have, guys? So they're on about the talking points here of the weekend. So what kind of talking points are we looking at here for this weekend? Well, we haven't been here for 5 years. We have a sprint race. There'll probably be good battles. I mean, for instance, even turn one here is a really, really good corner in terms of it's long, windy, and this corner just, I know this type of corner, it just feels like if you were in that cockpit, that corner, turn one, would feel like just going on and on and on and on forever. So, excuse me, the transition of the car here on the balance now, you really, really need to have a solid balance on your car going through turn one, because this would also be a very, very important, crucial corner here as well. Even though it's slow, they're going down to, most of them, probably third gear going through this windy section. Problem is that, as I think most of people have seen, right, when you see a Formula One car lock up, in other words, if you know, when they're slowing down going into a corner, and then you see the front tire, it just stops, right? It stops turning. And all of a sudden you see smoke, okay? That's locking up the car. So the problem is that with this corner, it's windy. So if they apply too much pressure on the brake pedal here and they're turning at the same time, they could lock up and then actually lose control. So very, very crucial to keep the car balanced going through here and just carry this speed as much as you can without getting too much brake pressure, and keep the speed up even though you are down in third gear. So it is a challenge, this track. It's really, really cool. It's a fast track, especially going out the back here. There's some great corners on this track. Definitely a cool, fun driver's track. But anyway, we'll see more of that now at the weekend. Okay, so Fernando Alonso, as we all know, what has he done? He's here to stay, as they say, up until 2026.
For the love of God! For the love of God!
Think it's a good move. Fernando, definitely a rock in that team. Lance Stroll, he's definitely right up there too. He's a great driver. I've always rated Lance Stroll. But I think it is good. A good guy with Fernando's experience. Lock him in until 2026. Maybe they'll just get Adrian Newey jumping on board. I can't see it happening. I think Adrian Newey, he's happy where he is. He's based, his home is close enough to the factory, as far as I remember anyway, that his home is very close to the Red Bull factory. He's settled there. He gets on with Christian Horner. Christian Horner treats him well, and by right you should, because this guy is the ticket to the chocolate factory here for you to win championships. Adrian Newey is your boy, so you've got to keep an eye on him. You make sure you treat him well. So there is always a chance, though. There is always a chance he could go to Aston Martin next year, but we will see. For Adrian Newey. But I'm delighted Alonso's going to stay. And it just goes to show you guys, the guy's in his 40s, right? And he's still here doing his thing. He's still very, very competitive. So it just goes to show you, if you want to do some sort of, I don't know, training program or some sport and you're in your 40s, just goes to show you, Fernando, he's not superhuman here, okay? He's just a very talented driver, very fit driver, and it just goes to show you that anybody in their 40s can still be bloody competitive at something. And, I would never rule it out. They're also talking about the Red Bull and Ferrari battle here. I wouldn't go this far in terms of saying there's a huge Red Bull-Ferrari battle yet. Now, look, I'm not trying to BS anybody here. I probably should be saying that there's a big battle between them just to keep things, this is good. But no, I mean, there's been the off-track drama. We've had enough drama this year already. The off-track drama of this year has been insane. It's been unbelievable, with Logan getting booted out of his car, to Alonso, to Hamilton getting screwed over at Mercedes, and it ain't going to go away, by the way. They're not going to be looking after Hamilton this year, and just you wait for a couple of more rounds. All of a sudden, Lewis Hamilton's going to get very, very worked up, I think. I personally do think so. So there's going to be plenty of drama unfolding this year. This is what, and I think Netflix Drive to Survive next year is going to be insane. Insane with all this drama going on. My God, hopefully we do see the Albon, Logan Sargeant, Williams move. Even Ralf Schumacher jumped in there a few days ago. And he said they really need to, this guy, Vowles, I thought he was great. Vowles at Williams, thought he was a great man until he decided to put Albon into Logan Sargeant's car. Crazy stuff. But he said, you know, he needs to check himself. Ralf Schumacher said that Vowles needs to check himself. He's goddamn right. Because doing what he's doing, Jesus, insane. And, of course, they don't have a spare car this weekend either. So, if Albon has another crash, 3 races in a row maybe they'll be booting out Logan Sargeant into the other car. But we'll see. So, guys, it's going to be great, I think. Now, I think Ferrari will be very, very competitive this weekend. I think they're on the ball, man. And in terms of... they're on the ball in terms of going in the direction they're going here. They've lost a bit of qualifying pace for now. Now, if you remember, I was saying this at the last Grand Prix, guys. If you are a Ferrari fan, I wouldn't be panicking here, right? Because, look, like we saw in 2023 season, Ferrari, there was a really good chance they'd put it on pole position or maybe even off pole. But the thing is, with this year, they've kind of taken a step back in qualifying. Now, I said this before, I don't think this is a bad thing, and I wouldn't get very worked up and carried away or concerned that they've lost their momentum. Because sometimes, guys, in racing, you need to take a few steps back to go in the right direction. I even called it path A and path B here a few weeks ago, where I said that they went down path A, where their car was really good in qualifying, but it was terrible in the race. As we all saw that in 2023, that, you know, they were nowhere in the races, really, compared to their qualifying pace. Do you know what I mean? You would expect it a lot more from them. So they had to, as I called it, reverse up back, up road A, and now they've got to reverse up and go down path B here, road B. So I think they're in the right direction. Of course, we don't know this for a fact, but I'm actually happier, and I'm a Ferrari fan, I'm happier to see them lose a bit of pace here, because if they kept going the way they're going and they put it on pole here and this and that, well, then the car is good for one type of scenario. I'd be more worried if they were actually putting it on pole more here, because for me, it wouldn't seem like they're going in the right direction. So, fingers crossed for Ferrari. Hopefully they can do the job. And I'm a big fan of Charles Leclerc, so fingers crossed. And you know what I have to say, even though I'm not a big fan of Carlos Sainz, I'd like to see him do well as well. You know, especially what he's been through. He's getting booted out of the team for 2025. I mean, it's just humiliating for the guy. And he's had some great results this year. So, you know, fingers crossed for Carlos Sainz. I'm going to even throw in for him, I have to say. My heart goes out to the guy. So, guys, prediction time, I would say, this is what I like about China. I don't know if the Red Bull is going to be competitive or not. I'm going to bank with they're going to be competitive. I'll go on that side of it. So I would say, I've got a feeling Perez is going to put it on pole and Verstappen off pole. Ask me why? I don't know. This isn't like inside information that I'm not sharing with anybody. I don't know. There's just something. Maybe it's Perez's time. They're going to give him a race win here. They're going to give him the equipment. Maybe. I'm going to go with Perez for qualifying pole. Verstappen second. Carlos Sainz third. For the race, I'm going to go with Perez winning, Verstappen second, and Carlos Sainz in third. So it'll be interesting to see. Very, very interesting to see what will happen this weekend, even though I know, most of you know I suck at predicting on these things, but hey, let's throw a spanner in the works, shall we? And it's not a huge spanner either. You know, I think even if Carlos Sainz has been on the podium quite a bit this year already, so he could do it again. And Red Bull, they're looking good. Anyway, we'll see, guys. We'll see. So, guys, nice short and sweet today. And we'll be back, of course, on Monday morning with the highlights of the Chinese Grand Prix. Thanks for listening, guys. Bye-bye.
Walsh running the Irish green, and look at the move. He's making down to the inside. Moves to the front with fifth all the way to the lead in lap one. Walsh takes win number two.
Peter. Walsh. Walsh.